Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So let's see now, how should I identify this guy? Well, you probably know him as Look At Me, but he has a real job besides, no. He's got another job that takes a few hours of his time. He's a state representative. His name is Randy Ligon, district number 43. A job he's had for 7 years now. That's hard to believe, 7 years.
Yeah.
Woo! Did you think
Fourth term.
Did you think he'd last this long?
I did not, but I'm honored that the public saw fit to let me come back and serve them again. And, you know, as I always said, it took me about 2 years to figure out where all the bathrooms are hidden in the basement of the Capitol building. So you're not very effective the first couple of years.
So now you got yourself a chairmanship.
I do, yeah.
Which is the?
Subchair, subcommittee of real estate. I chair the real estate subcommittee of LCI, Labor, Commerce, and Industry, which is a pretty big committee. And I'm also working closely with the chairman of the banking and insurance committee, because I have a little bit of banking insurance background.
So to make sure people understand, when a piece of legislation comes in and is filed, it's broken down, sent to the committee that's appropriate, and they send it to their subcommittee,
right,
to do all the homework on it, mm-hmm, and make a recommendation back to the full committee. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
That's right. And we hold the public hearings on it, usually, is where that starts. And, you know, it's a good time to point out, and people all the time say, oh, well, I saw you took a vote on the floor on some issue, and I didn't like it, or I thought it should be changed, or, you know, add or subtract from it. It's kind of too late, almost, at that point. You know, you got to realize it's been through possibly hours and days of this energy bill. We debated or listened to public hearings for days and days about it. And, you know, that's when you got to show up and stay informed. So when we talk about the bills that are in the meal, in the hopper, that's where the work is done. You don't do this work at the last second.
No. So right now, in the legislative session, you all have been in office in down there for about a month and a half?
Yeah, something like that. I think we just wrapped up week seven.
Week number seven. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a rush of activity?
Yeah, getting ready for the budget coming up in a couple weeks.
Ooh.
Everybody's got the handout. Everything has to be appropriated in the budget.
So what did the governor say about he does not want to have? Was it, I don't want to have earmarks in the budget this year?
I don't think he said that. I hope not.
Because everybody has
that's how we get money back to York County and Chester County, in my case.
So the budget this year is, I don't know what the big move on the budget is. I know there's some issues there. You know, one of the issues is about this using lottery money for private education.
Right.
And I don't know where that thing is.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to admit that I'm not on the Education Committee, and I have not sat through those weeks and weeks of hearings like they have. The Senate started it on their side, I think, in this particular bill, is the Senate bill, where they want to fund it with pure lottery money, is the Senate version, which has progressed further from their side than ours has. But, of course, all this will end up in a compromise eventually. But now we want to fund ours. We want to fund it. We want to do it, and we're going to pay for it out of general funds. We may use lottery money in the mix, but it's a different source of funding, and the Senate is restricting the funding to only lottery money, is my understanding from the senators.
So everybody seems to be supportive of the concept. It's just a question of which dollars are going to be used.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. And that's
Speaking of money,
Curtis
Loftus has got himself in a pickle down there, does he not?
The
$1.8 billion that was an accounting error. It was not. It was.
We thought we had it. We didn't have it. Now we know we didn't have it. We never had it.
But you didn't spend it. You didn't spend what you
had. Thank goodness
have.
We didn't spend it.
Right.
Because we didn't have it, but we didn't. What we didn't do, the biggest disappointment of that fiasco is we thought we made $200 million in interest, and we didn't make $200 million in interest because you can't make interest on money you'd never had. So, you know, we had to suck that up and take that hit. We didn't have $1.8 billion, nor did we have $200 million in interest gains. So, and, you know, what has come from that is the governor saying maybe we should have an independent auditor that doesn't answer to the comptroller and the treasurer, which is where the auditor used to or currently answers to. So it makes sense that our auditor, as we would do in business and every day, you know, our accountants and auditors are independent.
Should be appointed by the governor.
And appointed by the governor. And that bill is in this stack of bills here somewhere.
And that would make the governor responsible for the auditor.
That's right. And it puts, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere and the governor's going to take responsibility for it.
So the budget bill, we heard the governor on the airwaves here a week or so ago outlining his his proposals. Mm-hmm. What in that strikes you as something that's very interesting, if anything?
Oh, in his budget?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think he wants to get on with this energy. We have an energy crisis.
No question about it.
We can talk about energy all day. It is, we have kind of settled on an energy plan that's all of the above. Is, you know, in other words, we'll take solar energy. But we want gas-powered plants. We'll take a nuclear plant. Wind off the coast. We're not opposed to any method of raising energy, but then you got to get down to the reality of what makes sense. Windmills don't make a lot of sense in South Carolina. We might can do a few, but not many. Solar farms, I'm fine with a solar panel on top of a Walmart warehouse. Costco can put all the solar panels on top of their building they want to, but don't take good farmland and cover it up with solar panels. In fact, just last week, the Italians said they're going to ban solar farms on farmland in Italy. And I said, well, you know, that might be a something we ought to look at here because, you know, South Carolina is not Georgia and North Carolina. We don't have the land mass they have. People don't realize we're a lot smaller state, and good prime farmland does not need to be covered up in solar panels that, you know, they can say all they want to about taking them down in 20 years. The odds are not real good that that's going to happen.
So you talk about solar. There's an effort underway, of course, to get VC Summer going back again, and I've had Rick Lee sitting on here, who's the chair of the governor's nuclear advisory committee.
I've talked to Rick and seen his pictures of his tour, and the good news is, I think, if you remind me what he said, but I believe he says we've got a good a plant that's in good condition, considering where it is, and we can finish that job. And I say we, I mean we, as in let's sell it to somebody else to do. And, you know, if Google wants to pay to finish that plant, then have at it. Let them pay for it. I don't think the people of South Carolina need to be hit with any more expenses. But we also don't need to waste years of hard work. And if we can find a way to salvage it and get them to build it out, then, you know, we can help utilize that power.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And you're right. Rick went down there as the chair of the governor's Nuclear Advisory Commission, and he just went down there on a whim, on his own, just to take a look, and he was shocked by what he saw, and I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, everything looks like it's brand new, out of the box, just sitting there.
Yeah, they have done a great job. I've never seen a mothballed, I think is the term, mothballed plant with, you know, $100 million turbines sitting in a box. Yeah. And, I mean, they are, you know, they're keeping them dust-free, clean, climate-controlled. Sure. I mean, we're spending a lot of money maintaining the parts that are in storage, and thank goodness we are. We're not wasting that.
So I should be up on this, but I am not. Has the governor indicated that we ought to pursue this?
Absolutely. He's pushing that. And that was in his speech, State of the State. You know, that's something he wants to do for sure, is encourage us to do that. And we have, you know, we have done the, we've announced that bill or passed a bill. H-3309 passed the House a couple weeks ago, and that's all about getting that V.C. Sumner plant up to speed. But the whole energy bill is all about all of the above. We are not closing any doors to solar, anything, but we are saying we got to do something, because South Carolina about had a shutdown couple of years ago. You know, we had brownouts, and we don't want to do that again.
Well, when you consider the quality of companies that we're bringing to this state,
right?
You know, to operate a Boeing plant, can you imagine the electricity draw that needs?
Yeah, yeah.
GT Tire down here in Richburg.
Yeah, and the you know, we're proud of our Gallo plant down there. They're producing product, and you know, it takes a lot of power to do that. And right on Blythewood, have you been to Columbia and seen that plant? I missed the free tour they gave. I was in committee meetings, but I'm going to get back and take that tour one of these days, I hope. But, I mean, that plant is just huge for that Scout, which is part of
Volkswagen.
Yeah. Part of Volkswagen. Anyway, the Scout plant, and that's for all electric cars. I mean, an electric vehicle, and, you know, we're excited about that. But let me tell you, it takes a lot of electricity to build that electric car. And we've got to put some power in here. The state of South Carolina is, you know, we're blessed. As the governor likes to say, you know, South Carolina is booming, and everybody wants to come here. Well, that's good till it's not, because we can't handle but so much.
Well, and the first thing would happen is a prospective industry will go through their checklist, and if the checklist says not adequate power, boom,
they move on.
They're going somewhere else.
That's exactly right. Exactly. You know, Georgia just got a power plant online, very near us, near Savannah, and you know, let me tell you, deals are going to Georgia because South Carolina can't supply it.
Isn't that something?
And, I mean, we are losing, and people don't believe it, but we are losing deals to Georgia and North Carolina right now, and Tennessee.
And to do what we're talking about doing doesn't happen overnight. You don't snap your fingers.
Oh, no.
I mean, if they got the green light to go ahead and do the V.C. Sumner plant, it's going to take years.
Yeah. Well, you know, you set up a timeline, and V.C. Sumner, when it started, that was to fill the void for 15 years down the road. Now all of a sudden it stopped. So we got a 15-year hole and gap in our supply, our pipeline of supply, and we're scrambling. That's why we're saying if we have to build some gas-fired plants, and I think we will, you know, they take 3 or 4 years to get ready. And so if we start today, we're 3 years down the road before we bring any new power into South Carolina. And what are, you know, of course, I'm in the real estate business. What am I supposed to tell prospects? Oh, call me back in 3 or 4 years. You know, that, let me tell you, that doesn't help you make a sale. That does not work.
So the House has passed this energy bill.
Right.
It's sitting over in the Senate now?
That's right.
All
and
right.
In the Senate, I hear it's going to take it up. And you know, they heard the governor, too.
Right.
They know it's important.
Okay.
And it is one of the top issues in South Carolina.
Did they put any dollar amount with this bill? In other words, they were willing to spend, you know, whatever, $100 million, $200 million or something to get this thing going?
I don't think they put a dollar figure in it yet, except for to say we are trying hard and we are courting private industry.
So my guess is if this bill passes, it's going to be assigned to some department down there, and they're going to start kicking it in the butt and get going.
The energy group will get it up and running, hopefully, pretty quick.
We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, is just magic. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Everybody who's anybody knows what's going on, including those who are over there dining. At the count of three, let's tell them. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Soup, here it is. Soup, here it is. Fight those cold weather chills with a cup of hot soup at Substation 2. We serve a rotating selection of flavors and never know what we feel like fixing, but it's all delicious. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Randy Liggett is with us today. We're covering a potpourri of different issues going on down there in the legislature. I wonder if Charlie Ruffalo is selling any of this product here today. Because if he is, it's going to be short-lived.
Yeah, right? That's right. He'll sell out.
I've never heard of this, but we're talking about hemp water?
Hemp water, yeah. Sometimes in the legislature, and I've said this a lot, sometimes my job is to vote no. And we have a bill that was put up, Bill 4004, Legal Hemp-Derived Beverages. And, you know, we actually, Heath Sessions, Representative Sessions and Guffey, and I met with SLED agents, and they targeted us because York County is one of the worst places for it. Apparently, you know, it's legal to sell water. Water is not regulated very much. So what we have going on right here in York County is bottled water with hemp. And according to what he's trying to legalize, is 10 milligrams, anywhere from 9, not more than 0.3. But because it's unregulated, we're finding out it's a lot more than that in it. They are selling water, and the big label will say, you know, lemon juice infused water. In the fine print, it says with a little hemp, you know, with a little shot of nine milligrams of THC in the water. And it's a very fancy label, and it looks great. They got all these different flavors. And you know what the headline of the cooler was? Alcohol-free.
So you're telling me this bottled water You can get high drinking a bottle of water.
Well, that's what they say. I hadn't seen it or done it, but I hear that's what goes on here in York County, and Sled said it's a problem.
Big time up here.
Yep, it started up here, probably trickled down from Charlotte, and so be careful when you go send the kids in and say, just grab that bottle of flavored water. It may not be what you think it is, and it should be regulated.
Well, and if no other reason, they ought to have big labels as to what it is, not something buried in small
print. Right, exactly. So we're just scratching the surface on this one, and I admit I don't know much about it, but I don't have to know much about it. I'm against it. hemp-infused water, I'm not in favor of it.
You have to be a golfer to want to have that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Maybe they're selling it on the golf course. I don't know.
Improve your score. Hemp water. Anyway. So something else that's interesting, comes up every year, is the salaries that we're paying teachers. Now, the governor's made it very clear by the time he leaves office, he wants it to be at least $50,000, right?
And I think I can assure you we're going to make that happen. The governor's going to get his wish, and our beginning teacher is going to make $50,000.
But unfortunately, in today's
budget drafts, and I do say it's still a draft, but we need about $3,000 more dollars per teacher to get them there at the starting line. I don't think we're going to get the whole $3,000. We're probably going to get $1,500 to $2,000, which is going to leave us just a hair short, and we'll get it there next year. But we're going to do everything we can to get as close as we can.
I'm sure that if we'd had that interest on that $1.8 billion that we didn't have.
Yes, well, that did kind of deflate our bubble a little bit. We did not have $1.8 billion. Never had it. We didn't lose it. We never had it.
But does $50,000 make us really that competitive?
Well, by the time we get there, no. Now we'll need it to go to 55. Pretty quick.
Jeez.
Yeah. And seniority raises and all that kind of stuff, will make a difference too. But
pardon me. So let me take you back to your chairmanship of real estate.
Yeah.
The real estate committee.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a burning issue that you have seen so far come before the committee? Because I know you just mentioned that the legislative dump is coming on you right now.
And people always say, what are you doing, or where's my bill, or whatever, and they forget. We start out with about 1,000 to 1,100 bills January 1st. And, and people get upset that we didn't hear their bill. Well, you just can't hear 1,100 bills. You have to pick and choose. And I know that offends some people, but and sometimes we do silly bills that I don't understand why we're doing, like pinball machines are going to be legal finally after 100 years. We're going to legalize them. But, I don't know why that's important. But in my committee, we tried to work on more important issues like HOA foreclosures on property. We have a great real estate industry and good realtors here in Rock Hill. And good property managers, and they treat their people fairly. They give them fair notice, and if you're going to be foreclosed on and evicted, there's all proper notices out there. Apparently, at the state level, that is not true everywhere. We're lucky here in York County, in Chester County, in this Lancaster Tri-County region. Our folks do a good job, but we did passed it on the House side, where we're going to require an official notice from the master and equity judge to give them another 30-day notice before they get evicted. Okay. And that's to be fair to the people or the around the state that don't get a fair hearing. So we passed that. That was important. And had no real opposition to it. Continuing education credits is our out-of-state folks. We passed a bill to correct, I think I'm going to say, we made a mistake a few years ago, and we were not accepting continuing education credits from North Carolina and Georgia. And all of a sudden, you know, we were expecting them to take ours, and we weren't reciprocating. So we cleaned up the reciprocal bills. You know, we, of course, LCI, where I am, is a lot of that's on the energy work. Another bill we passed that's important, not in my committee, but I was glad to support, and the county veteran officers. You know, we're gonna make sure these smaller counties, again, we don't have that problem here, but smaller counties only have one veterans officer in the county, and we're going to double that to two.
So now, let me stop you there. On that one, does the state supply the money for us to have a second officer?
Right. Yeah, the state's going to send us the money. And, of course, this is just coming out of the House side. But we hope the Senate will concur with that. We did pass a Social Media Regulation Act, which is 3431, and we took some criticism. People said I was meddling in the parents' business. Well, I think it's, you know, good parents are parenting, but unfortunately, you have to, sometimes the state has to step in and say, this is inappropriate material for a minor, and, you know, we took, and it was a bold step to protect the children. The social media platforms have to verify ages of who's seeing the material. And apparently, I'm surprised people were opposed to that, but some were. But anyway, we have done that. And, of course, we are continuing to push to clean up social media issues and ills that our Representative Brandon Guffey, has fought hard for. And as an aside, Brandon's in Washington, D.C. at the invitation of Melania Trump. The First Lady has invited him up. I think he's traveling today and will be in meetings in Washington with her, and has been invited to the State of the Union address.
Good for him.
So getting a lot of press.
Good for him,
and I'm happy for him.
So do you have any bills yourself that you are introducing or trying to get passed, Randy?
I was involved on these two real estate bills and energy. So also working on one that's for the Catawba Indian Nation. A couple bills there I'm working with. I represent the Catawba Nation, and they are there's a couple hundred acres of land the county owns, and we got to clean that property line up. I think, you know, it was found in the new survey, so we got to clean up a little technicality there. And then the biggest thing is we're going to help get their police officers covered with state insurance, hopefully.
Oh, really?
That's important because it impacts their ability to hire.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
hard to hire an existing police officer if we can't continue his retirement plan.
Well, as you can see, there's plenty to do down there in Columbia, and we're glad that you're down there to do it for us.
Well, part of the 1,100 bills we're trying to wade through. And more come in every day.
My God. Yeah, you're right. It's a process. It is a process, and it's, as they say, you know, do you really want to know how the sausage is made? I don't know.
It's hard. It's harder than you think.
So, Randy, thank you very much for being with us today, and we'll check back with you later in the session. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Your Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice. For conservative investors, you can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, one more time here at Substation 2. What the heck do we do here 6 days a week? We do fresh subs and salads, and we do them right before your eyes. That's where the old slogan comes from. And at the count of three, we're going to enlighten you out there who are supposed to be in here. Ready? At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.